Hello everyone! First off, I want to say thank you all so much for 3,000 subscribers. That really does mean the world to me, as small of a number as it is. As a thank you, I thought I'd go back and revisit one of my older videos and, make some corrections to it. It's been about 2 years since I decided to take a look at the Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing Trilogy to see which one was the best. And despite me saying in that video that I would try to put my biases aside, yeah, I didn't really do that all too well. So my plan for this video is to look back at the first video, go through it segment by segment, correcting the mistakes I made and things I just straight up no longer agree with. And finally, I want to add more to certain topics because I feel like the reasonings I gave for a lot of my points really didn't make a lot of sense. Also, I will be adding in a few extra points of discussion because even after 3 whole years of talking about these games on this channel, I still have more to say about them. For those of you who need a quick refresher or haven't seen any of my other Sonic and Sega content, Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing is my favorite racing game of all time, period. And its two sequels, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed and Team Sonic Racing, are two games that for a very long time I was actively hating on because they ruined almost everything I loved about the first game in one way or another. Nowadays, however, my opinions have actually changed on both of the games, for better and for worse. So now let's start correcting the mistakes I had with the original video. The first section I talked about was with the characters the games included. Now with Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, the character roster is honestly really well done. It has a decent balance of both Sonic and non-Sonic characters, all of which are really good inclusions. Due to the fact that each non-Sega game only received a single representative, it actually manages to make the roster feel incredibly unique. And while sure I wouldn't have said no to other characters like Gum or Mimi being included, honestly the roster feels perfect as it is. It has that perfect blend of Sega characters that manage to stand the test of time like Ai or Beat from Jet Set Radio, but also has a lot of older characters that I doubt anyone would recognize if you didn't already know who they were. Like the Bonanza Brothers or Opa Opa for example. And something I didn't touch on in the first video is how well characterized everyone is. The dialogue that goes on in the races, from something as simple as Eggman's maniacal laughter to Beat talking to Professor K, all the way to Zobio and Zobico just occasionally talking to each other as the race goes on, it's all really well done. And what's more is each character can perform their own taunts when they aren't holding an item, which is even more of a perfect opportunity for characterization. And all of this is done so masterfully. Adding on to that, the tricks that each character can do whilst airborne are also there to add even more personality to each character. It's all so incredibly well done. Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, is a bit of an interesting case. The roster to me is starting to feel a little imbalanced. On the PC version of the game, the Sonic characters are vastly outweighed by the number of non-Sonic characters. And this actually isn't a bad thing, but I think they should have included a higher number of Sonic characters to balance things out. Maybe add in Silver or Blaze or any of the other thousands of Sonic characters that exist within the Sonic universe. As for the non-Sonic characters, I actually don't have any problems with these. As a matter of fact, some of my favorite characters are the non-Sonic ones, like Gilius Thunderhead, who, fun fact, was supposed to be in the original game before being scrapped, as well as the Ages combo and even some new additions coming from the older franchises like Pudding from Space Channel 5. Where my love and appreciation for this roster kind of falls flat though is with the third party characters. There are two of these that I can kind of overlook because they had outside reasoning for being included, one of which being the Yonks cast, which from my research were included as part of a charity event, which while I don't think the character is a good inclusion especially a decade later, I can genuinely appreciate that. And the other one being Wreck-It Ralph. In the original video, I was not happy at this inclusion, but after a decade of thinking about it, it does kind of make sense. I get he's here because it's a crossover, being as Sonic was present in the original Wreck-It Ralph, but wouldn't Vanellope make more sense as a playable character? I don't exactly have any issues with Ralph being here anymore, but being as Vanellope is the character who actually does race out of the two protagonists, wouldn't it make much more sense for her to be the playable character? And maybe have Ralph appear as like a cameo in her All-Star or something? I really don't understand this decision outside of a marketing point of view, but I guess the inclusion's still fine. As for the cast of TF2, I mean, I think it's funny they're here, I just don't really understand it. And Danica Patrick? No, okay, hold the fucking phone. Who thought this was a good idea? Who thought it would be a good idea to put a real-world person into a racing game like this? Danica Patrick would have maybe made sense in a normal racing game with normal characters, but in a game like this, this is arguably the stupidest inclusion they could have possibly chosen. I messed up in my original video saying humans should be kept out of the Sonic franchise, and okay, for the most part, I still agree with that. Let's just keep Eggman and add Agent Stone to the games and, you know, I'll be happy with that. But what I really meant to say is that real-world people should not be a part of the Sonic games. And I think what made this game overall less enjoyable for me in terms of the roster itself was the distinct lack of characterization that oozed out of the first game. Every character does have a small animation that plays when they reach first place for the first time, outside of Asia's of course, but it's nothing compared to the fun taunts you could do during the first game. Imagine being a semi-skilled driver, like BD Joe for example, whose literal job it is to ferry people around, and then all of a sudden you see this gigantic zombie going fucking apeshit on the racetrack with a small girl bouncing on top of him, only for them to casually jump back in a car that looked like it was cobbled together in the span of about 20 minutes, with the small girl driving nonetheless, and now the less gorilla-looking zombie man shakes his fucking ass at you. If that's not grounds for some of the funniest characterization in a racing game, then goddammit, I do not know what is. And sadly, Transform just has none of that whatsoever. The characters might occasionally talk to themselves again, but it's barely in relation to what's going on. I will say it's nice they tried to keep some of this, and I very much understand why they didn't keep the taunts, but they very easily could have kept these in, or at least made some more interesting taunts for landing attacks on characters. And sadly, they also removed the really fun tricks that every character could do in favor of boring ass flips and rolls, really bringing down the enjoyment of pulling off tricks in the air when this can barely be called a trick. As for Team Sonic Racing, I'll admit I appreciate how they stuck to their guns with this one. This game is an all-Sonic cast, and while I chastise the lack of the perfect Sonic trio being present, the roster is also pretty much the safest possible options. I guess they are nice callbacks to Team Sonic, Rose, and Dark from Sonic Heroes, but some of these character choices don't make any sense. Like, why is Vector here when Charmy and Espio are nowhere to be seen? Sure, I do understand that Blaze and Silver needed a partner, but just give them Styx the Badger. It makes about as much sense as Vector does. Eggman's team also could have been improved by giving them the Heavy King and then giving Zabok his own dedicated party. Also, why aren't the Babylon Rogues here? This was the freest character choice of all time for a game like this, and they're just not present. The roster itself has no interesting additions outside of Team Silver, which again is a team that really doesn't make sense being as Vector already has a team with Charmy and Espio. The other choices are nice callbacks, but are all safe and incredibly obvious picks. The only outlier here is Zabok, because he could be replaced by literally any other ally that Eggman's ever had. As for how everyone's characterized, actually this is done really well through the dialogue everyone has with each other. And Metal Sonic being mute is the funniest fucking thing because he still has a text box that shows up. So my headcanon is that he's just swearing so much that they can't broadcast what he's saying. But everyone else talking shit to one another is actually still kind of funny. There's still no taunts included, and the aerial tricks are even more boring now because there isn't even any weight to them. The characters just kind of spin around fast enough to make anyone throw up and then all of a sudden root to the spot again. And one quick note, this might just be me imagining things, but was it ever made obvious that certain teams had a much harder time building up the Team Ultimate meter? Like, Team Rose and Team Sonic seem to be able to build it up way too quickly. But whenever I play as Team Dark, it always takes so much longer than some of the others. This might be an interesting bit of characterization to show how well each team works with each other, which if it is honestly fucking genius, because Team Eggman is the slowest to build it up, which makes sense given who the team is comprised of. Again though, this might be just me imagining things. The next topic I talked about were the tracks, and thankfully I don't have nearly as much to say about these as I did the characters, because I already covered my thoughts on all three games' tracks in their own dedicated video. But for those of you who haven't seen those or just don't care to watch them, I'll give you the updated speedrun. My opinion on the first game's tracks haven't changed. They're still super solid tracks, even the ones I'm not a fan of, and they're all really well detailed. Every track is incredibly visually distinct, and all of them have their own really fun shortcuts implemented. Even the, less intentional ones. There's nothing particularly wrong with any of the tracks in this game. These all feel like they belong here, and they also add to the experience because it's just fun to race on them and learn how to navigate them faster and faster. I do wish that at the very least, there was one track from every represented game though. I get how that might have been tough for games like the Bonanza Bros or Phantasy Star, but surely you could have given us a Crazy Taxi or Space Channel 5 track, right? I mean, it couldn't have been that tough. Transform's tracks somehow got better since the last time I played them. This was already my favorite game track-wise, but revisiting the game with an actual working controller and not an old half-broken one or an actual keyboard, which yes, I was originally crazy enough to use for this game, I actually ended up enjoying the plane and boat sections a lot more than I used to. The boat's drifting is still kind of funky to me, but honestly, everything else about the tracks is just genuinely really creative and fun. Even some of the more simple tracks are just a blast to play through. I do kind of wish more tracks took advantage of all three types of transportation though, because there's a surprisingly small amount of tracks that actually use all three vehicles, and then an even smaller amount of them that use them to their maximum potential. For stages that only have two combinations though, they actually use them all to the best of their ability, using the planes to take more interesting routes, using the water segments to show more open parts of the track. It's actually really good. Team Sonic Racing somehow dropped the ball even more with their track selection on revisits. Because not only are almost half the tracks from older games, they also actively ruined the ones they did port over from Transformed specifically, because now they're so goddamn lifeless. And they obviously couldn't add in the fun plane or boat sections, so nothing about the track changes, which makes them even worse than they were before. What were they thinking here? At the very least, the original tracks aren't abysmal, they're perfectly fine for what they are, even if they're horribly simple. I know I said it wasn't bad that the first game's tracks were simple, but at least they had interesting things about them, like a ton of alternate paths and incredibly detailed parts of the stage. The ones here are honestly all just boring as sin. They have their moments, but for the most part, a lot of these could just be swapped out for basic Mario Kart tracks, and I highly doubt anyone would complain. Jokes aside though, if this game's track roster wasn't almost half returning tracks and had a ton more originals present, honestly, I don't think it'd bother me nearly as much. But the fact that there are so many returning tracks, most of which are either completely unchanged or dumbed down because of a lack of the one interesting mechanic that made the tracks fun, honestly makes it so much worse than it needs to be. At least Transformed had the excuse of the returning tracks being a retro cup and not just scattered across almost every other cup in the damn game. As for the items each game has, there's not really much I can add to what I said in the original video, but I'll try and convey my thoughts as best I can. The original game's set of items honestly fits the tone perfectly. The more simple items like the shield and the speed shoes make sense, while the more inventive items like the pocket rainbow and confusion star are genuinely just really funny items to pull from the rotation. There isn't really an item that sticks out here as feeling like it shouldn't be included. In the original video, I said the items in Transformed were easily the weakest of the bunch, and yeah, okay, that is still true, but I don't think I explained my reasoning well enough. I based it on if it'd make sense for these to work as the items they do, when for the other two I based it on how creative they were. And honestly, these items are still my least favorite, but they are a lot more creative than I gave them credit for. Some of them I will argue are kind of stupid, like the Swarm for example. It's a fun item, but honestly just kind of feels ham-fisted, and the RC Car and Twister are both pathetically sad items. Also, why the hell did you remove the speed shoes in favor of just a normal boost item? I get they do the same thing, but that really felt incredibly unnecessary. The others are honestly fine though, I don't have anything to say about them. As for Team Sonic Racing again, this is far and away the best one, because they all use the Wisp's abilities to their fullest potential. Granted, this was practically free, considering it's not hard to come up with a way for the boost or laser wisps to work as an item now, is it? As for the music for all three games, I'm not gonna dwell on this one, I was genuinely just biased here. The music in all three games is actually pretty damn good. I still like the originals the most just because of the variety of songs coming from different games, but all three of them have genuinely solid soundtracks. A lot of them are kind of still hit or miss for me, but I will genuinely admit that all three games have soundtracks that fit each and every track almost perfectly. With the original having a massive variety pulling from the tracks the original games come from, like Concept of Love or Funky Dealer from Jet Set Radio, while something from Team Sonic Racing has its own completely original soundtrack, and you know what? Both of them work really well. And yes, this is my official apology to the single Team Sonic Racing fan in my audience. I don't really have much else to comment on when it comes to the customization either, though I do think I need to mention how much more fun it is to use the different mod stages in Transformed, being as I didn't really expand on that in the original video. These can absolutely make or break a race, and genuinely make it a hell of a lot of fun to play as races that aren't considered to be all that good, because just by equipping them with a simple mod, they're suddenly just as good, if not better, than the other characters. I also forgot to mention that my dumbass somehow went this long without realizing that the different vehicle parts in Team Sonic Racing actually affect your stats. I guess it never really comes into play during the actual game, because honestly, I've never been able to tell that there's a difference. Besides, I mostly use them for cosmetics anyway, so the fact that they do affect your stats never really bothered me. As for the commentary in all three games, this is another category where I stand by my opinions. I genuinely love the commentator from the original All-Stars Racing. His comments, both excited and terrified, as well as his unending simping for Ooh La La, genuinely just put the dumbest smile on my face while I'm racing around. Basically, at any given opportunity, he'll jump in with some funny or witty comment about what's happening, ranging from laughing at how bad people's driving is, shitting on last place for being bad at the game, or just freaking out like a maniac when someone pulls an All-Star move. Meanwhile, the commentator, in quotes, from Transformed, doesn't even feel like he wants to be there. I do kind of wish they upped the ante with him, because it does make the game feel kind of quiet at times. And Team Sonic Racing's comments, as I said earlier, are a great way to add some depth to the characterization of this game, but they're not really as entertaining as I once thought. They're supposed to sound threatening, but pretty much at worst come off as grumpy or mildly annoyed. I do think the ones where they're thanking the other members of the team are kind of neat additions though, even when you're put on a team with people realistically certain characters wouldn't team up with. But the more offensive ones are pretty lackluster. Arguably the best ones though are when you're racing in a Grand Prix and you hit a member of the enemy team who would normally be on yours. The cries of betrayal are honestly funnier than the smug or angry statements because some characters sound genuinely hurt and it's just really funny. The extra modes is another section I once again actually agree with and also don't have much to comment on. The ones in the original are fun and simple, the ones in Transformed are genuinely incredibly enjoyable, even if a tad frustrating at times, and the ones in Team are heavily aided by the fact that it is in fact a real story mode. In terms of multiplayer, I'd argue I like the first ones a lot more than I initially said, because these game modes genuinely got really hectic when I used to play them with other people. It's actually a lot of fun just racing around these courses in multiplayer, and even though there aren't a lot of options, it's just genuinely a really nice change of pace from the main game, which honestly, given how much fun the main game is, you really don't need. And the mission mode is perfectly fine, it's nothing special, but I'll give credit where credit's due for a first attempt. There are some fun missions in here, but honestly, unless you're an achievement hunter, it's nothing to lose sleep over. When it comes to Transformed and Team though, Transformed personally has more enjoyable events because of the game's mechanic. While a lot of the Team ones are single player focused, mostly defeating the purpose of working together with your allies to progress the story. That's not denying they aren't fun of course, I just think I'd rather play the ones from Transform. Mostly because despite me initially disliking a lot of the game, these missions actually were the most enjoyable sections. It was really fun to learn layouts of the tracks and even take different routes entirely on certain stages, which made those parts of the game way more fun than they should have been. Meanwhile, Team Sonic Racing is certainly carried by its cheesy cutscenes, but you know, I will admit I'm always a sucker for drift challenges, and I don't think there's anything more fun in a racing game than a knockout tournament. Especially when three racers get knocked out at once each lap. When it comes to what is, in my opinion, the best aspect of the original game, I think I've ranted about these more than enough. The All-Star moves from the original All-Stars Racing are some of the funniest and easily the most enjoyable parts of the game. Watching these simple yet incredibly genius attacks fly off at mach speed is such a joy to see. I cannot and never will be able to praise this mechanic enough. As for the Transformed ones, a lot of people have been asking me to rank these, and to that I raise you the question of how the fuck do I do that? These are all one of three things. Either a small AoE, a few very easily avoidable projectiles, or a simple dash forwards. These aren't fun or inventive, they're a copy and paste with different textures. Yeah, there were a few like that in the original too, but at the very least they were kind of different. And they did have a ton of unique ones as well, so it definitely balanced out. Again though, it sort of makes sense as to why they're not different and much less original than the first games because of the boat and plane sections. I mean, you wouldn't catch Beat running on his roller skates in midair now, would you? But you could have at least tried to make them fun and unique. As for Team Sonic Racing, for no goddamn reason, the All-Star moves are just completely fucking gone. And they're replaced with a very bland and boring speed boost. I kind of see why this was done, but why not add the All-Stars back in the solo races and actually make them interesting again? Wait, no, they couldn't do that because then everyone would only play the solo races and no one would use the actual mechanic of the game because they'd all be using the vastly superior and much more fun mechanic. At the very least, the Team Ultimates are sort of fun when you have such a massive lead and are heavily carrying the team, but in terms of how much fun it is to use them, unlike in All-Stars Racing where I'll go out of my way to bag behind to grab an All-Star move or in Transformed where I'm completely indifferent to getting one, in Team they just sort of happen. There's nothing special about them outside of the signature music for each character, and it kind of brings down the enjoyment of having to use them. Because the thing is, you can just outpace the Team Ultimates. I'm not even joking here, it's actually very easy to do so. A lot of the time you're so far ahead that they barely make an impact, and when you get to use them, you're either already so far ahead that it literally makes no difference, or you ram into a few rivals with no impact sound by the way, they just sort of phase through you, and you continue on your way like nothing happened. This is a complete joke compared to the Transformed All-Stars, let alone the godlike ones from the original. Well, those are all the topics I covered in the original video, and as for my final thoughts, the original Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing is honestly still my favorite one. I have such a strong nostalgic connection to it, and it's easily the most enjoyable to me personally. However, I do very much see the love for Transformed now. I don't like it nearly as much as the OG, but it's definitely one I'll casually play and enjoy. As for Team Sonic Racing, yeah, I think I'll stick to playing this one exclusively for content. There's a couple things I find more enjoyable, and overall it's a perfectly serviceable game, but really, it's by far my least favorite of the three. Well, that brings us to the end of the video. If you somehow managed to stick it out all the way to the end, then I wanted to thank you personally. It means a lot to me that people can watch whatever the fuck I decide to make. And genuinely, once again, thank you all for 3,000 subscribers. I'm going to be taking next week off just to recharge my batteries a little bit, but I'll be back in full swing the week after. Currently, I'm in the process of trying to better my mental health a bit, so I hope you guys can understand. If you enjoyed this video, don't forget to leave a like on it and subscribe if you haven't. You can also join my Discord server via the description or the pinned comment. Be sure to let me know what you want to see next, and until next time, stay safe, everyone. Peace.